officials, educators, parents, and students will not be able to decide for ourselves and for our communities which books these are.
So Floridians no longer question or don't understand how the university searches are made or how presidents are selected.
During the oil spill, just the threat of oil coming completely shut down our economy.
From the fourth floor of the Capitol Rotunda, you're listening to WFSU Public Media's Capitol Report, the podcast. I'm Tom Flanagan.
Funding for Capitol Report is provided by the following. Rambana and Ritchie, immigration attorneys concentrating on complex immigration across the nation from Florida's capital and their mobile office. Self-sponsored green cards, I-9 compliance, and deportation defense. Rambana and Ritchie, on the web at rambana.com.
This is Capitol Report, the podcast. I'm Tom Flanagan. Among today's Capitol action, a bill before the Florida legislature would change the rules for how schools can evaluate challenged books in their libraries. As Margie Menzel reports, a group of advocates, including book authors, is pushing back.
Under the bill, when books used in school libraries or classrooms are challenged, the decision makers would not be able to consider literary, artistic, political, or scientific value. Apopka Republican Representative Doug Bankson is the sponsor. He says some schools are citing those reasons when they keep books he thinks are inappropriate on their shelves.
There are schools that have, our law is working, but there are those that haven't, and that's where the concern lies.
Fort Pierce Republican Representative Dana Trabolsi says she's seen evidence that's true.
And I will tell each and every one of you that the schools that are complying, like my school district, are not going to have a problem with this bill because they're already doing the right thing. But when you look at the proof, and you're welcome to come to my office and look at the proof, you will be astounded and, most importantly, disgusted.
Meanwhile, a group called Authors Against Book Bans is pushing back against the measure. Stefana Farrell is the research director at the Florida Freedom to Read Project. She says her group collected data from 41 of the state's 67 counties about who is filing complaints about school library books.
In reviewing the objections submitted over the last 3 years, we found that fewer than 100 public school parents statewide, have filed objections since 2021.
But data show thousands of books have been challenged. Under the bill, Farrell says, school funding would be threatened for noncompliance and education resources would be redirected to comply with and litigate Bankson's measure. Author Lauren Groff says she thinks the measure would violate the rights of communities to free speech and self-determination.
But if HB 1539 passes, our local officials, educators, parents, and students will not be able to decide for ourselves and for our communities which books these are. Not to mention that this law being unconstitutional will open up a Pandora's box of extremely expensive lawsuits, which taxpayers of Florida will have to pay for.
Bankson argues books aren't banned. He says schools are simply following their policies to remove age-inappropriate materials from their shelves. The Trump administration has argued that as well. And he argues that the bill is constitutional. He cites a U.S. Supreme Court decision saying the concept of obscenity may vary depending on the group dealing with the material. And obscenity is not protected speech.
Because of the state's exigent interest in preventing distribution to children of objectionable material, it can exercise its power to protect the health, safety, welfare, and morals of its community by barring the distribution to children of books recognized to be suitable for adults. So there is a constitutional right and ability to do this.
But Ocoee Democratic Representative LaVon Bracey Davis says the bill has deeper problems. She points to the so-called Miller test, which was developed by the U.S. Supreme Court in 1973. It's a three-prong test to define obscene speech. Under the third prong of the test, the work would be considered obscene if, taken as a whole, it lacks serious literary, artistic, political, or scientific value. Bracey Davis says the measure blocks review committees from being able to consider that third prong.
This does fail the third prong of the Miller test. And this also is a gateway, I believe, to just ban more books. This radically escalates Florida's book ban and educational censorship crisis.
The bill has stalled in the Senate. It was temporarily postponed with no debate. It faces two more House committees. I'm Margie Menzel.
After only a few years, the Florida legislature is on track to reverse course on a policy that allowed the hiring process for university presidents to happen behind closed doors. Tristan Wood reports several parts of the bill weaken the control the state's governor has over public colleges and universities.
Since Florida lawmakers made the process private in 2023, Republican politicians with limited university administration experience have been selected to lead the University of Florida, Florida International University, and the New College of Florida. And concerns about political intervention stalled the hiring process at Florida Atlantic University. Escambia Republican Representative Michelle Salzman says how the state's university system implemented the public records exemption went beyond what the legislature intended and should be reversed.
One of the biggest decisions made was made in the shade, a part of one of the biggest parts of Florida's budget. So this bill is taking it out of the shade and putting it back into the sunshine so Floridians no longer question or don't understand how the university searches are made or how presidents are selected.
The bill doesn't just make the university presidential search public again. It gives control of the process to each individual institution's board of trustees instead of the state university system board of governors, whose members are mostly appointed by the state governor. The bill also prohibits the governor or any executive branch employees from discussing a presidential vacancy or supporting a candidate for the job. Salzman's proposal has support from groups that are often critical of the legislature. AFL-CIO Policy Director Rich Templin says he thinks the bill will return independence back to universities.
So much of the process was self-governance of faculty and input from all of the different stakeholders, the students, the community, the business leaders. And that was taken away a few years ago. And we want to thank Representative Salzman for putting them back.
Other elements of the bill also institute term limits on members of the Board of Governors and University and College Boards of Trustees. It also requires people serving on those boards either live in Florida or be a graduate of a Florida college or university. And board members will be required to file financial disclosure forms. Those rules would impact several current members of those boards that were appointed by DeSantis. I'm Tristan Wood.
A bill aimed at preventing a return of efforts to build things like golf courses, pickleball courts, and resorts in state parks is ready to go to the full Florida House. The House State Affairs Committee today unanimously supported the measure to prevent development within the state park system. The bill comes after widespread opposition last year to a plan dubbed the Great Outdoors Initiative by the Florida Department of Environmental Protection. State Representative Anna Escamani supports the legislation.
Our state parks are more than just beautiful places to visit. They are classrooms without walls, sanctuaries for all wildlife, and also sanctuaries for people, too.
While the bill is headed to the House floor, it remains to be seen how the issue will progress in the Senate. A Senate version of the bill still would need to clear two more committees in the final weeks of the legislative session. The Department of Environmental Protection proposal last year called for golf courses, resort-style lodges, and pickleball courts at 10 state parks. The proposal was pulled back after the public outcry. Finally tonight, a group of North Florida lawmakers has a plan they hope will help protect the Apalachicola River Basin and Bay. Adrian Andrews reports their bills would put rules in place for oil companies that drill for oil and gas near vulnerable bodies of water.
Republican Representative Jason Schoaf serves counties in the Big Bend area, mainly those along Florida's Gulf Coast. He's carrying the House version of a bill he hopes will safeguard what he describes as Florida's critical coastal ecosystems.
North Florida has some of the most beautiful coastlines and springs and rivers. These ecosystems are so incredibly fragile that we must do everything we can to protect them.
Schoaf's measure amends Florida statutes to enforce environmental protections related to oil and gas drilling. The bill bars oil companies from drilling into crucial water bodies and national research reserves. According to the bill's analysis, Florida has three, one being the Apalachicola Reserve, which sits in Shoaff's district of Franklin County. He says the area's economy was hit hard by the 2010 BP oil spill.
On the Forgotten Coast, we know about the dangers of oil spills firsthand. In April, it will have been 15 years since the BP oil spill devastated our seafood economy and tourism economy.
Shoaff's bill would ban any oil drilling and exploration in areas within 10 miles of the research reserves and away from nearby communities that rely heavily on harvesting and selling seafood. The bill also aims to put the Florida Department of Environmental Protection in charge of evaluating any potential environmental risk by future oil drilling. This must be done before drilling commences. Otherwise, a company will not be able to get a permit. Tallahassee Democratic Representative Allison Tant is the bill's co-sponsor.
We have an obligation to protect this precious resource in our own area, where all of us, while we're all together here, have the pleasure of enjoying the fruits of.
Tallahassee Republican Senator Corey Simon is carrying the bill in his chamber. His version of the measure does not prevent drilling within 10 miles of vulnerable water bodies. That bill will be heard in committee Thursday. I'm Adrian Andrews.
Our regular Capitol Report correspondents are Adrian Andrews, Gina Jordan, Regan McCarthy, Margie Menzel, and Tristan Wood. Shows are available Monday through Thursday by 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time wherever you get your podcasts. On many of these Florida public radio stations, you can tune in each Friday to catch the latest on all things happening at the Capitol, and that show is also available in podcast form. Technical assistance comes from Taylor Cox, and I'm Tom Flanagan. This is Capitol Report, the podcast from WFSU Public Media.
Funding for Capitol Report is provided by the following. Rambana and Ritchie, immigration attorneys concentrating on complex immigration across the nation from Florida's capital and their mobile office. Self-sponsored green cards, I-9 compliance, and deportation defense. Rambana and Ritchie, on the web at rambana.com. Capitol Report is a production of WFSU Public Media in Tallahassee.